Hello, this is Joe Scherr with the Leadership Crucible. I'd like to welcome you to this interview with Mr. Mike Burrows. He is the author of Before Onboarding, How to Integrate New Leaders for Quick and Sustained Results. And we'll hear more about that as we go through this interview. Mike is the Managing Director of the Executive Integration Practice at Sheer Velocity, which is an executive recruiting firm that specializes in integrating executives into new positions. Mike has a vast experience in this arena as a veteran global executive recruiter, a three-time organizational development executive for Fortune 500 companies. He's a board-certified executive coach, adjunct professor of leadership and organizational behavior, and he served our nation as an Army colonel retiring in that position. So, Mike, you've done quite a lot. That's quite a resume, and I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here, Joe.
Our topic today is integrating new executives. Why this process and why now? So, Mike, let's start off with the obvious question. What exactly is executive integration?
Executive integration is a term that we give to a process for integrating new leaders into their job before they get there. We call the process pre-boarding. And we begin this process when a new leader accepts an offer. And we complete it 90 days after the start date.
Why this process and why is it important now?
Well, the statistics are pretty grim, Joe, about executive attrition. There have been several studies going all the way back to 2001, 2002 about executive attrition. And if you just take into consideration that there are 500,000 managers in the Fortune 500 that change jobs every year, that's not counting every other organization there is. That's just in the U.S. alone. And in 40 to 50% of them, depending on one study, another study said 30+% of them don't make it. And a lot of them fail within 2 years. In fact, the majority of them do who fail within 2 years. Studies show that what happens to this new leader in the first 90 days has a significant bearing on their long-term success. And our process is designed to maximize every minute of those 3 months. And actually get them up to speed quicker. Another study about ramp-up time that came out is that it takes 6.2 months, actually one study said 6 to 9 months, for a new leader to get up to speed and start returning more value than he or she has consumed. And our process is designed to get them up to speed in weeks rather than months and have them focus on doing the right things, get early wins and avoid landmines that could derail them. And our process is facilitator-led, involves interviewing the boss of the new leader, the peers of the new leader, the direct reports, basically a 360 interview, documenting that those interviews into what we call a blueprint for success. Then keeping in mind that the new leader hasn't started yet, we meet with the new leader to debrief that blueprint. And we kick off the new leader's new job the morning of the first day, and we stay in touch with the boss and the new leader at 30-day increments for the first 90 days to make sure that the blueprint is being followed. We do that in conjunction with executive searches we perform. We also do it for executives that have been recruited by the organization or through even some other search firm. The process is the same. The outcomes are the same. Moreover, we do it for people that are being promoted from within. Again, the process is the same.
I want to go back to what you said about those rather grim statistics. Executives changing jobs, 40 to 50% of them not working out. I mean, that's an incredible investment that a firm puts into bringing on those executives into very responsible positions. And that's not a very good average.
No, it's not. And I think the listeners to this podcast are probably very accustomed to seeing a lot of scrutiny in the selection process for new leaders, but virtually nothing being done in most organizations once they get there. And one study said that it's amazing how much investment goes into hiring people, but how they just rely on hope when these new leaders get started. And I think it's safe to say hope is not a strategy, as they say. And we've got a strategy.
Yeah, both of us have a military background, and that was drilled into us along the way. Hope is not a strategy. You actually have to have a strategy for the desired outcomes that you're looking for. So
exactly.
And that's, it seems to me, that's what your process is. How did you arrive at this concept?
Well, you mentioned our mutual military backgrounds, Joe, and back in the early 80s, I was assigned as a young captain on the general staff and one command. And we had a new leader come into our directorate, and they had an organization development officer on the post who came and did a, what I'll call it a day, a new leader integration. But it only went for 3 hours. It involved all of the new leaders' direct reports and a series of briefings about what we've done, plan to do, and where we're having some issues to try to make sure that this new leader, you know, was up and running the first day. All of that was very useful. And in a military environment, probably extremely useful. But as I was going through this process, I said, this thing has a lot of promise, and I was already thinking about doing it in other environments, like in the private sector, for example. And I said to myself, if I'm ever in a position to need to transition a new leader effectively, there's a lot of room for improvement in this process, and I'll design one to do that. Came to pass many years later. I was vice president of organization development for a company, and we were having issues with new leaders not working out and taking too long to get up to speed. And I thought back to those days when I was in the Army, and I said, I'm going to develop that process now. And so I did develop it. I tweaked it along the way. It turned out to be very successful, and that's how it came to pass.
Well, so personal experience, observation of a process that had a lot of promise, and you took it and brought it to the commercial world, essentially. How does executive integration compared to onboarding? Onboarding is a term that I think most people either have heard of or intuitively understand, but your process is a little bit different.
Yeah, it is. In fact, the title of my book, I was trying to get this point across very early, is the title of the book is Before Onboarding. It's not done in lieu of onboarding. It's done in addition to onboarding, and that's why we call it pre-boarding, because our process is focused on the results of this new leader, getting them up to speed quickly and well. And onboarding processes are also designed to minimize the integration time that any new employee has coming into an organization, but they're very few, very few. I did a study several months ago and talked to a few companies that have an executive integration process of sorts. All of them are different, but most onboarding programs where leaders are concerned are not unique. And ours is extremely unique. It's designed all around the concept of hitting the ground running and knowing exactly what to do in the order in which to do it.
Yeah, I can recall back to leadership positions that I was put into. Hitting the ground running was also came with sink or swim.
Yeah, right.
And that was the extent of the onboarding. So, yeah. And I think that occurs more often than we care to think in the business world in general. So what you're talking about is actually starting the process before a person actually enters the organization. Is that right?
That's right. I said earlier, it's facilitator-led. You know, a person with a good coaching background uses our methodology and starts as soon as an offer is accepted, or if it's an internal promotion, as soon as the organization decides to move someone to a new position. The risks are the same. And all we ask if you're doing it with an internal promotion is delay the start date of that new leader until the process is begun. It usually takes a few weeks before an outside hire starts, but an internal promotion, people will make that decision in 1 week and they start the next Monday. We can't do a good solid integration process without a little bit of a delay on the internal promotions.
Right, given the process that you run. So I understand the basics, and say I'm a CEO or even the head of HR, why should I even care about this? I mean, you know, times are tough, budgets are getting cut, we're driving efficiencies. What is the rationale for me to even invest in something like this?
Well, you mentioned driving efficiencies, and heaven knows that's what I run into all of the time. But what you don't see with new leaders coming on board is the costs associated with failure being taken into consideration. And that's why a CEO needs to, or a head of HR needs to take a different look at this. You know, the costs are substantial when a new leader fails. So one study said as much as 20 times their annual compensation. And that's just in the money. I mean, when you look at the fact that sometimes a new leader comes on board, either poorly integrated or not integrated at all, and employees that work for that individual quit. If left to chance, there are a lot of things that can happen, all of which are costly. It's all about money, the same way it is in the efficiencies that we talked about.
Right. That makes a ton of sense. You're making an upfront investment to ensure the success of someone that's very, very important to your organization.
Right. And if you think about the investment, if in our case we're doing an executive search, there's a fee associated with that search, and there's an incremental cost on top of that search to do this integration process, which lasts anywhere from 6 to 8 days over a 120-day period of time. It's pretty labor-intensive, but the costs are minimal.
Getting that person up to speed very quickly, hit the ground running, as you mentioned. Productivity is you're shrinking that ramp-up time, and then right. Then the time for that leader to actually start making a difference in the organization. I'll say this, Mike. I've talked about this concept to a number of business leaders around town, and every one of them, within 2 or 3 minutes of me just sketching out just what you have here, every one of them gets it. And inevitably, the comment I get back is, wow, we could really use something like that. Because they intuitively understand how valuable having a person in a leadership position ready to go right out of the blocks, how important that is for their success and for the success of the organization.
I've experienced the same thing. In fact, in addition to that, I've had a lot of these CEOs and presidents and C-level executives say, I sure wish I had a process like that in my last job or this job or every job I've had for that matter, because people tend to personalize it once they know the value of this process, and that helps them make their decision about having other people go through it.
Right. I can definitely relate to that, as can you. Being transferred from assignment to assignment where continuity and turnover is oftentimes non-existent. So you're relying on your wits and your previous experience, but you're lacking the vital insight that this process provides that will help you with getting off on that right foot. So, okay, I get it, Mike. I understand. There's a definite financial and productivity benefit here to executive integration and the pre-boarding piece of it in particular. So what are the steps of your process?
Well, the first thing we have to do is have the right integrator doing the work. And some organizations have these people internally, or they can go outside and recruit a pool of executive coaches who would be briefed on how to do this process. Or in our case, we do it in conjunction with an executive search assignment. So there are various ways to go get the integrator coach. Then the first step in the process, once you have that person, is that the new leaders that's being recruited, the pool of candidates, especially the finalist candidates, need to know that they're going to go through this process. And in our case, they talk to me and they get a copy of my book so that it's all laid out for them what they're going to experience. Then the interviews begin, and I interview the boss of the new leader. Then the next step is to interview the peers of the individual. And any other stakeholders that may exist, could be a key client, could be, a board member or someone like that, but invariably there are other stakeholders. I'm about to do one of these processes now for an organization where they brought in the board member who's responsible for the compensation committee, and I'll be interviewing that individual. So he falls into the category of other stakeholders. Then the next step is to interview all of the direct report. The idea is that you're interviewing about this position, the boss, the peers, and the direct reports. All of those questions, incidentally, are attributable to the person who answered. The whole idea here is to be transparent and authentic and give this individual as much information as he or she can get prior to starting. But there's one question that we ask that is not known. It's an anonymous question, and that's of the direct reports. We ask the question, what do you want to know about your new leader? And any question is fair game. That usually causes a lot of really tough questions to be asked, and we do that for a reason. Because when the kickoff meeting happens, the new leader will be answering right away those anonymous questions. And the whole idea is to communicate transparency and authenticity as a new leader, because one of the things that you run into in bringing new leaders into an organization is their direct reports haven't necessarily decided how trustworthy communication can be with that new leader. And this process is designed, or that part of the process is designed to break down those barriers before midday, the first day the person's on a job. And I've seen this happen many, many times. The body language shifts after about 20 minutes of this, that people start to say, boy, that really was a tough question, and I like the way it was answered, and logical conclusion is that I think we can communicate. Prior to that kickoff, though, the next step is that we write down all the answers to these questions and package it in what we call a blueprint for success, and we give that document to the new leader who's still packing boxes somewhere. And after 2 or 3 days of reviewing it and making notes, we meet with the new leader to be face to face, and we go over that document line by line, page by page. And at that point in time, we're wearing an executive coaching hat, because I tell my participants in this process that for a day or two, I know more about your job than anybody, because I've talked to everybody about your job. And so take this information to heart. I give some, coaching tips that came out of the process. If there are things that they need to know, emphasizing what not to do, for example, that's an interesting question that comes out of this process, is what must this leader avoid at all costs? Some of the questions pertain to how well the previous leader did. So, the whole idea is that every conceivable problem is identified and every piece of guidance about what to do and when to do it is captured, and we go over that in that meeting. After the kickoff meeting occurs, we tell the new leader that you need to meet face-to-face with everybody that contributed to this process and do it quickly. The beauty of that is that when they're meeting with their peers, for example, they know exactly how their peers answered the questions that I asked their peers. And so they can go in there with some information, key information. One of the questions I like to ask, for example, is of the peers, is what do you want this new leader to do differently than the previous leader that will help you do your job better? And I remember doing one of these processes once when the person I was interviewing looked at me and said, if he'll just return my phone calls, we'll get off to a good start. Turned out the previous leader was notoriously bad for returning phone calls. And I've heard every conceivable answer imaginable, to that question. But at least if the new leader knows going in, what can I do with this peer of mine to get off on the right foot? So everything that we can do to make this new hire successful is our goal. And we follow up. The blueprint is there to follow, and in 30, 60, and 90 days, we meet with the boss and the new leader, and we refer to the blueprint for success and basically do a check-in. How is the new leader doing in relation to all the guidance that had been given by the new leader's manager prior to that individual starting? Sometimes things have changed. Priorities have changed, and the new leader can the new leader's manager can readjust. At the end of 90 days, we feel like we've covered that critical 90 days period. And although we've had a lot of people come back to us and say it'd be good if we had an executive coach, say, for out to 6, 9, even 12 months to do this. And I'm being a veteran executive coach in addition to some of the other things I do. I heartily support that. But it's a good thing to do. But at the end of 90 days, our process pretty much ends.
The big distinction is that you're starting before the leader actually takes their position in the organization. And then what you're doing then is you're following through systematically those 30, 60, 90 days with the potential for a follow-on coaching relationship.
Right. And I've done that. It's valuable to do that.
Well, I could see if I was handed a blueprint for success, in my mind, that would do a number of things for me. Wow, this organization really has its act together. They're really interested in my success. So there's a lot of goodwill and good vibrations established right there. And then sitting down right off the bat and breaking down barriers and establishing patterns of communication and communicating in a way that's effective right off the bat. Holy cow. I mean, anybody that has that available to them really has an advantage.
And that's what they tell us.
So what results have you seen when you've done this pre-boarding process?
Well, if I could sum it up in one word, it's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of new leaders come into the job confident because of it's just a good image to put forth. But, there's always risks associated with new jobs. And whether I've done this as an internal consultant when I was in the organization development field or done it on the outside, it's just the new leader comes on board feeling like, hey, I really have a handle on this, and I know what to do, and there's not a lot of guesswork, and I'm not going to go off spending a lot of activity doing things that ultimately are not important. I've seen most of the times we've done this, we've had great success. I did do one on the inside once where I had nothing to do with hiring the new leader. It was a division president, and it didn't go well. You know, so I don't want to give the impression that this thing is going to work 100% of the time. The selection process still is very important, and organizations today are spending a lot more effort to qualify their candidates. The better selection process you have, the better the likelihood that this process is going to work, and it does.
The question that comes up for me is, so if a company's investing a lot in selection, why not continue it to, because what you're trying to do is increase the probability of success right off the bat for that leader coming in and making a difference in the organization. You now have a tool where they can continue it after the person is hired and then after they get into the job, whether that's, I mean, the first 30, 60, 90 days or with the extended coaching process. Yeah. So really, I see this, Mike, as your process is filling a gap in the entire executive integration process.
That's true. And let's go back to the comment you made earlier about business leaders you've talked to who've said very quickly in the discussion that, wow, that has a lot of value and we should be doing that. It's really, Joe, a paradigm shift. I don't have a hard time convincing CEOs, especially, of the value of this process. And it's a short conversation.
So you call it executive integration, but what levels of managers should be integrated prior to their start date?
Well, realistically, what I'm discovering is that organizations that have developed some sort of leader integration process of their own have naturally started out at the executive level, and that in this conversation means VP and above. But I have said in my book, any person who manages other people should be integrated, depending on the environment. For example, if it's a healthcare organization, nursing managers, frontline managers of nurses, very important place in healthcare today. And so I think in that environment, for example, you take it all the way down to nurse management level. There are costs associated with it. And that's the trade-off. Organizations have to say, well, sure, every leader should go through this, but for now, we'll start at the VP and above and iron out some of the bugs in our process. And then when it's really up and running, we'll lower it a level and then another level with, I think, the objective of having every leader go through this process.
Right. Yeah. And this follows on to my next question. So this just isn't for leaders that are hired from the outside. And you mentioned that it's also could be applied to internal leaders. And to get to your last point, many organizations have leadership development and succession planning processes in place. And it seems to me that your pre-boarding process could fit in very well.
Well, it does. And in fact, when I developed this process in my organization development days, I would say 2 out of every 3 executives that I integrated were internal moves. You know, I was trying to fill a gap, you know, within the company that I worked for and then just refine the process over time. But yeah, it's risky. In fact, studies that I cited earlier say that while the numbers of failures for internal promotions is less than those for senior outside hires, it's not by much, and it's just a few percentage points. So yes, you can work for the same company, but if you move over into an entirely new division with new players, a new manager, new direct reports, new peers, you know, it really, you have some advantage having worked for the company, but sometimes the advantage can work to your disadvantage. Doing it with internal promotions is every bit as important as doing it for outside hires.
Yeah, that's a surprising statistic, Mike. I never would have guessed something like that. I would have thought that the people internal to the organization would have had a leg up, but in what you're saying is that's not necessarily true, and in fact isn't true based on studies and your experience.
Well, the fact that it's not true in the organization that I was working for when I developed this process, you know, that was a need. We had internal people getting promoted into new jobs that just weren't successful, and this process made the new ones that we moved into new jobs be successful.
So how might a company or organization go about integrating their new leaders?
Well, again, the resources are key. I mean, the first thing an organization has to do is implement this process from the top down. It's like any change management initiative. If you're doing it from the middle and working up and down, it's just not going to work. You have to get top management's buy-in to this thing and their total support, because they're going to be participating as peers or managers of new leaders, and they have to have the buy-in. So if you're a talent management executive or an HR executive or an organization development executive, and you're really sold on implementing a process like that, start at the top and then work your way down. And so once you've done that, then you have to do a resource assessment and say, who do we have within our organization that can do this and do it well? And moreover, should we have someone within the organization doing it? There are advantages and disadvantages to using internal people to do this. I mean, an outsider, I've done it both ways, and I can tell you, you know, that an outsider is just looking for the help, but the people on the inside are more likely to be candid with an external consultant than they are with an internal consultant. And I've just experienced that. It's a phenomenon, but it's there nonetheless. So once you have the resource, then you're ready to start the process, and then it's just a question of timing. Make sure that there's enough time to do the process before the outside leader starts or the new leader moves in or the internal leader moves into a new role. If you need outside resources like coaches, I do a lot of executive coaching, as do many other people who are very credentialed and quite good at that process. And I can tell you from the coaches I've worked with regarding the process that's in my book, they embrace it. In fact, if those that are out there in private practice are even using this model as another arrow in their quiver to offer to clients is to integrate their new leaders for them. But, you know, depending on the size of the organization will determine the size of the pool of outside resources that you may need.
Well, and not only that, having the whole organization, an organizational method to do that and the buy-in to do it and the resources allocated right. to do it as you mentioned. So your firm is comprehensive in the way it approaches this challenge. So what other ways can you assist people and organizations who want to do this?
Well, the first thing on the list would be if you have an executive search assignment, let us demonstrate to you how this process works by doing the search with an integration project on the tail end of it. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is I go into organizations and help them set up their own process. Sometimes I've done that where they use the process in my book and we refine it for a day or two. But I also did a study of many organizations around the country that have developed some semblance of a new leader integration process. And I've documented those case studies. And I put on a workshop at the request of clients with their talent management teams to basically let them go through my model in the book and all the case studies and pick and choose what elements they like best that would work best in their organization. And then when that process is over, that workshop, incidentally, is a two-day workshop. When I'm talking to them about the model in my book, I'm typically there just for a day. And then they're off and running. In my case, I serve as a resource to them as long as they need my advice.
So, Mike, that's fantastic. And I appreciate your vision and your foresight on identifying a need in the marketplace for a process like that. And it sounds like you've had great success already. And I think as this idea catches on, it's, you know, the no-brainer factor is going to be self-evident to more and more organizations out there. So I'd really like to thank you for your time. I've learned a lot, as I always do in these interviews. And I want to give you the opportunity for the last word. Anything you'd like to close with?
Thank you. I would definitely like to close with this. I'm the owner manager of a group on LinkedIn called the Executive Integration Network. And it's growing pretty steadily. And it's with people who have the jobs of the responsibility of seeing that new leaders, you know, are up to speed. So if you're listening to this and you want to be associated with people who've already bought into the concept, join the Executive Integration Network on LinkedIn and recommend it to people that you know who are in similar business. I would also encourage people, although this is not meant to be a plug necessarily, go on Amazon and either get a copy of the book Before Onboarding, How to Integrate New Leaders for Quick and Sustained Results, or download it to your Kindle. And it's a short read, and I think you'll have a really good idea about what the possibilities are whether you developed your own system or used ours, once you've read that book.
I appreciate it, Mike. There you have it, folks. Mr. Mike Burrows, author of Before Onboarding, How to Integrate New Leaders for Quick and Sustained Results. I've read the book. It is a quick read, and it's well worth it. You come away with a very good understanding of what this process can do, and I hope you come away with a better appreciation of executive integration and how it can help your business and organization compress the time it takes new leaders to produce, while also reducing the risk and cost of an unsuccessful executive. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Joe.